Master, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter. Being afraid, I hid your talent in the earth. I knew you were a hard man. Really now, does he know the master? Is he a hard-hearted, tough, exacting miser of a master who expects to reap where he did not sow? Or is he an extravagant wheeler-dealer whose faith is exceeded only by his generosity? He gave them all that he had, every cent. Is it hard-hearted of him to expect them to be as reckless as he is? And when they come back to render account, do you think that if he is pleased, he might let them keep some of the interest they've earned? No, he tells them, keep it all of it, even the principal. Who is this master? Jesus had some funny ideas about business. Take agriculture. Jesus said a sower went out to sow and carefully placed each, plowed each furrow and carefully placed, ever so carefully, seed upon seed, spaced 6 inches apart in straight lines. No. Jesus said a sower goes out to sow and just starts slinging seed everywhere. Slinging seed. Master, I knew you to be the sort of person who expected to harvest in much the same way you sow. Then, Jesus said, when the seed came up, there were weeds mixed in with the wheat. Remember that story? And the servants come and said, Master, do you want us to try and pull up the weeds out of the wheat? And the master says, no, just let them grow together. We'll sort it out later. Who is this master? And moving from sloppy farming to outrageous shepherding, Jesus said, the good shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. What? You show me a shepherd who will lay down his life for a $9.95 plus postage sheep, and I'll show you a dumb shepherd. Or an unbelievably extravagant shepherd. Who is this master, and what would it be like to be his servant? In Matthew's gospel, just before Jesus starts down the lonely road towards his death, he tells three stories. They're all parables of judgment, parables about the end, stories about reckoning, stories about judgment. A man goes away on a journey. Before leaving, he split up his property among his servants. He gives one 5 coins to another 2. To one servant, he gives just 1, and he leaves town. The servant who received the 5 coins and the 2 coins, well, they both went out, wheeled and dealed, and got more coins. The servant who received the 1 coin put his own 1 little coin in a napkin and buried it for safekeeping. And after a long time, this lord returned. Now, of course, the crowds perk up. Knowing that Jesus isn't talking about a lord, he's talking about the Lord, the Messiah, the judge. He's talking about judgment. About the last hoped-for days when the Lord, the judge, will turn up and settle accounts. And they're expecting a judge who will come and knock heads together and settle scores and, at the last, reward the good and punish the bad. Judgment is a time to settle accounts. After a long time, 3 days, 30 years, the Lord returns. Or, as that great theologian Goldie Hawn once put it, here comes the judge. The first servant reports that he had taken his 5 coins and earned 5 more. The next servant had taken his 2 coins and made 2 more. Well done, good and faithful servant, says the Lord, the judge. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. But then comes the prudent, careful servant. Sir, I knew how tough you were. So here's your coin, all wrapped up neatly in a napkin. I knew you had high standards, expected a lot out of people, so I said to myself, watch your step. If he keeps track of every penny, which isn't his, think of what he'll do if you lose something that is here, his. So here is your coin, all safe and sound. As you can see, I have been very, very, very careful and prudent and cautious, just like you. Just like me, roars the judge. You're not at all like me, you miserly little weasel. You knew I was so tough. Why didn't you at least try a U.S. savings bond at 2%? Haven't you learned anything from watching me wheel and deal in business? I asked you to be faithful, which is a fancy word for trust. I didn't ask you to make money. I asked you to do business, to wheel and deal and trust enough to take a risk. But what did you do? You played it safe, kept it all to yourself, wrapped it up in that silly little napkin. I'm going to take that one little coin you have and that silly napkin, and I'm going to give it over there to that guy who knows what to do with a coin when he gets one. And you know why? First, to remind you that all you have is a gift. I expect you to do business with it, not just to keep it to yourself. I'm sick to death of your puny, low-risk living. Second, I'm going to give your gift away just to show everybody that I don't really give a hoot about what you earned with it anyway. Remember, it was the master who began all this wheeling and dealing to begin with. The parable begins with the master whom the servant has accused of being so tight, so hard-hearted and mean. It was this master who took everything he had and risked it all with his servants. Does that seem hard-hearted or tight to you? No. He expects his servants to be half as reckless and extravagant as he is. Here you come with your measly little handkerchief, and then you accuse me, Mr. Extravagant himself, by telling me you thought I couldn't be trusted enough to take a few risks with your little miserable life. It burns me up. If I were not such a risk-taker, such a gambler, do you think I would have risked my only begotten son on the likes of you? This morning story of coins is not about rewarding the good and punishing the bad. None of the stuff that we associate with judgment. It's about trust. First, the trust Jesus has in servants like you and me to handle all that he has. And second, the trust that we are expected to have in him. Next to his extravagance, our puny little cautious piety looks pitiful. Here is a strange manager who just loves to give, a strange judge who judges us on the basis of our ability to handle all that he has, all this open-handed extravagance. Think of the sacraments as tokens of God's trust in you. God trusts you so much that God adopts you as his child through the waters of baptism. God cares for you so much that he makes sure you do not go hungry. He nourishes you week by week with the life of his Son in bread and wine. God relies on you so much that he entrusts another human being to your care in marriage. God treasures you so much that when you fall ill, he soothes your wounds with the oil of holy unction. The sacraments are all, each and every one, tokens of our trust in God. But they are also tokens of God's trust in you and God's willingness to vest you with something of his riches, his power, and his great glory. And how we betray that exuberant, reckless Good Friday love with our fear and our apprehensiveness and our puny lives and our miserly religion. Knowing that we're bound to sin, Martin Luther says God wants us to sin boldly. Knowing that the judge must forgive us and be merciful, he wants us to live lives that make his mercy all the more wonderful, rather than always worrying about how to hedge our bets so that we need not need mercy. Jesus told this story on his way to his crucifixion on Calvary, the ultimate reckless, extravagant act of all. He judges us by dying for us. And so John, in his gospel, sums up this parable by saying, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Amen.